You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
Old Town Road. Lil Nas X's country western rap hit is now not only genre-breaking, it's record-breaking. It has held Billboard's number one spot for 17 weeks, breaking the record previously set by the 2017 hit Despacito and, back in the mid-90s, One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. Well, what propels a song to that kind of popularity? In the case of Old Town Road, it may be the unexpected juxtaposition of rap style and lyrics about horses. Jonah Berger is Associate Professor of Marketing at University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and author of Contagious, Why Things Catch On. Jonah, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jonah, you published a study last year about what makes songs in particular become so popular. And you found that songs that fall outside the norms of a given genre are the ones that become most popular. I mean, that certainly seems to describe Old Town Road.
Definitely. So, you know, my collaborator, Grant Packard, and I were interested in why do some songs become hits? We see this all the time. What about them, though, makes them a hit? And Old Town Road certainly is different than what we might expect.
This is kind of a high-risk, high-reward strategy. I mean, if you're going outside the norms of your genre, there's the chance that it'll be a complete flop. Is there any sweet spot for being just far enough outside of a genre to become popular?
That's a nice point. And, you know, one interesting question is, what makes a song inside a genre? And there are certain features of songs that really locate them within genres, but there are also some features of songs that allow us to go outside genres. And one thing we think is that the musical features, you know, the guitar and the other aspects of the song, really locate it within country. It sounds a lot like country. The topic, horses, sits it within country. But some of the other features mix it with a little more hip-hop, and that's what makes it atypical.
Let's hear a little bit more of Old Town Road.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached, head is matted black, got the bushes black to match, riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche, I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch, now can't nobody tell.
I mean, that perfectly illustrates what you were just talking about. You don't expect necessarily a rap song like that to be talking about horses. It's pretty unexpected, and the whole song keeps you guessing, at least for me. I mean, it's kind of surprising and amusing and intriguing all the way along, no matter how many times I hear it. Is this serious? Is this parody? Are those rhymes brilliant or completely ridiculous? You're constantly intrigued by the song.
Yeah, there's this great term in psychology called optimal distinctiveness. And it's all about things that are sort of similar and different at the same time. And it's mostly applied to the idea of identity being, you know, similar to groups and different from others at the same time. But you can think about the same thing within, say, a cultural item. You know, similarity is good because it makes things easier to process. It makes them familiar. If a song is completely different from something we've ever heard before, it's not going to be really easy to listen to, right? If it was, you know, banging on a wall plus, you know, some scratching sounds plus words that made no sense, we wouldn't want to listen to it, right? It'd be
too
different.
That's what my kids do on a regular
before.
Basis.
Their music is wonderful, I'm sure. And so there's some benefits to familiarity, right? There's some benefits to sounding like things we've heard before. At the same time, if something's exactly the same as what we've heard before, it's not going to get any attention. There's nothing new about it. And so there's this nice blend of novelty and familiarity, of similarity and difference, of new and old. You can almost think about it as a Goldilocks effect, right? Not too hot, not too cold, but just right. That really helps things in culture succeed. We did another paper a few years ago. We looked at baby names, and we found that baby names are more successful, again, when they're kind of similar and different, when they have some sounds that have been popular in other baby names recently, but are different in some names as well. And so that mix of familiarity and difference really helps drive success.
Jonah Berger, I want to go back to the aspects of Old Town Road that you were describing that might locate it within the rap genre versus locating it within the country western genre, because, of course, this song has actually been controversial as well. If we go back to March, it hit Billboard's top 100 country, and then Billboard removed it, saying, actually, it's not country. And they got a lot of pushback saying, actually, no, that's just racist. This is a country song. It should be on the country Billboard. And I wonder how much that kind of controversy, perhaps the idea that Lil Nas X is an underdog trying to beat the system, how much could those sorts of things boost the popularity of a song?
That's a tough question, right? What is country? what defines something as a country song? What makes a song country? In our analyses, we really took advantage of the fact that Billboard already classifies certain songs into certain genres. And so what we did is we used the lyrics and we said, okay, are the lyrics of a given song more different from the topics the genre usually sings about? So if it's a country song, but it's singing about different topics than country usually sings about, is it more successful? But in terms of what makes a song as part of a certain genre, a lot of what Billboard is doing in those cases, it's having people listen to it and saying, does this seem like country? Is the artist a country artist? You know, if Billy Ray Cyrus sings a song, people are probably going to say it's a country song just because it has Billy Ray Cyrus on it. Whereas if Madonna sings a song, people are probably going to say it's pop. Now, does that mean that Madonna's song couldn't be a country song? No, but it probably means that Madonna's going to have to do more work to make a song of hers seem like a country song.
That controversy, though, that's what I'm kind of curious about, is this idea that any publicity is good publicity. Could that actually help propel the song to popularity?
Certainly. You know, controversy is a great way to generate word of mouth. We've done a bunch of research showing at least moderate controversy, so not extreme controversy, but at least moderate controversy is a great way to get people talking because everybody has an opinion, right? Some people say, yep, I think this is a country song. Other people say it's not. And then everybody argues about it. A conversation ensues. Other people get involved. People love sharing their opinion. And now this song has gotten a lot more attention than it would otherwise. You know, think about that posting a few years ago about the color of a dress, right? There was that great viral thing about, is the dress this color? Is it that color?
It was blue and black, absolutely.
I don't even remember what it was. But the internet was all talking about it for a whole, you know, week or even 2 weeks. And because people can share their opinions, because they can weigh in, it gives something more attention. So I think that certainly helped this song both be successful and have a longer life than it might have otherwise.
Well, Jonah Berger, that was going to be my next question, because going viral is one thing, but things often go viral and then disappear the next week. Whereas what we're talking about here with Old Town Road is staying at the number one spot on the Billboard Top 100 for 17 weeks, longer than any other song. How different is the formula for getting popular versus staying popular?
It's a good question, and I think the challenge, right, it's a lot of the things that make something popular, because it's really flashy and completely different or very controversial. Many of those things often don't have a lot of substance. So apologies to the artist who sang, you know, What Does the Fox Say a number of years ago? But, you know, you remember that song, What Does the Fox Say? Do, 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 do.
What does the fox say?
Yeah, you know, that was popular for about a week, and then it kind of disappeared. In part because the song wasn't actually that much fun to listen to, right? Whereas you compare that to something like Old Town Road, you compare that to something like Baby Shark. You compare that to something where when you listen to it, it's also kind of an earworm, right? You can't get rid of it.
These are complete earworms that I have had Old Town Road in my head for 5 straight days. And this is not the first time. There have been, you know, weeks over the past few months where I can't get Old Town Road out of my head.
Yeah, and that's really where I think, you know, hopefully one day the science will be, right? So I find songs fascinating. I love listening to them. But even more, I love thinking about questions like, well, what makes a song an earworm, right? Is it the lyrics? Is it the musical features? Is it both? You know, for the paper we did, Grant and I did, you know, we only looked at lyrics. We just focused on lyrics because there are some natural language processing techniques out there that allow us to measure features of lyrics and look at success. But it'd be interesting to look at the musical features as well and think about, you know, how does the combination of the two aspects make it so that it's not only likable, but extremely memorable.
I want to come back to this idea of remixes of the song. We already heard one remix that involved Billy Ray Cyrus. But if you go on any streaming service, you can find tons of remixes of Old Town Road, including one by a group called Kids Bop, popular with young kids.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna
These remixes are essentially like celebrity endorsements in some ways, but they're also potentially a way to introduce this song to new audiences. And that's kind of a new feature in the music scene. If you go back 20, 30 years, you weren't necessarily getting, within months of a song being created, a dozen different remixes of it. How much has that changed what becomes popular?
The music industry has changed a lot, and as you very nicely laid out, you know, it used to be not all about the song, but heavily about the song. How much did people like the song? Could they pay radio DJs to play the song? But it's really about the song itself. What you see today is songs aren't part of albums. They're released individually at different points in time. listening to music is partially about the song itself, but it's also partially about being the first person to hear a new cut or a new release of something. Music artists like Nipsey Hussle have been really smart about how they release music, thinking about songs not just as something to listen to, but something as gives you social currency to show that kind of you were there first, and releasing things like limited edition mixtapes. So, you know, artists like Lil Nas X really are fluent in the language of the internet. He's done a great job of adding memes and doing remixes and encouraging others to participate and really making it something where the song kicks off an ongoing conversation that other people can participate in. And this is where we really get, you know, we move from kind of a song to a movement, right? When you think about things going viral, you think about things catching on, you think about individual products, we think about the thing itself. But when these things really catch fire, they build a broader movement. They allow a larger set of people to participate and make that thing their own. We started a project at one point in time that never went anywhere, but kind of look at these individual remixes of songs, right? Where people go make their own version of Old Town Road, you know, in their bathroom or their living room. They dance, you know, to the whatever Gangnam Style dances, and then they upload it online. And whether the ability to kind of participate in these things keeps them alive, right? Because each person does their own version. It's not perfect, but they share it with their friends, and their friends go and do their own version, and then they go back and check with the original song. And now weeks and even months later, that song is still relevant, where it might not be otherwise.
Jonah Berger, your 2013 book, Contagious, of course, has been picked up by a lot of people who want to create something that will become popular. Why would it be important for the rest of us to understand our own reactions to books or music or anything else that we encounter, and what makes us like it or respond to it, and what makes it become a popular phenomenon?
You know, I got started studying this area, not because of social media, but I got started studying rumors and urban legends. So this was the late 90s. I went to college as an undergrad at Stanford, hooked up with a guy there named Chip Heath, who was a professor. And he was interested in, you know, what makes certain rumors and urban legends successful. And at the time, people weren't really interested in that question. Some people were, but not many people. People said, oh, rumors, urban legends, those are things that kids tell one another. Why do those really matter? But what's really interesting is those same principles that drive us to share rumors and urban legends are the same principles that drive us to share fake news, are the same principles that drive us to engage with and share songs and news and other sorts of things as well. And so I think while certainly marketers and companies and organizations want to make their stuff successful, if I'm a music artist, I want to understand what's going to make someone share or engage with my track. Even as an individual, it's really important to understand, well, hey, I'm getting all this stuff shared with me through social media and other channels. Should I be paying attention to it? Does the fact that other people are sharing it mean that it's actually good and worth my attention? How might things like filter bubbles and echo chambers lead me to focus my attention on things that might not be the best for me to learn about or pay attention to? And how can I make sure that I'm learning not only what my friends are paying attention to, but what might be important in the world more generally? As we think about wanting to become sort of an informed population, how do we do that in today's day and age? We don't just flip open a newspaper. Many of us don't even read a physical newspaper anymore. But when we go online, this information is increasingly tailored to what we've liked in the past. And that's good in some ways, right? We're more likely to like what we're reading, but it also focuses down one particular narrow direction that may not be good overall.
Well, Old Town Road certainly got a lot of us out of our bubbles. Jonah Berger is an associate professor of marketing at University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and author of Contagious, Why Things Catch On. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.